Chapter 40. Jesse Stone drove by Burt's All-Star Grill on his way to visit Gabriel Weathers at the medical center outside of Helton. He wanted to check to make sure Sharon, the waitress, was okay, and that Spider hadn't doubled back to displace some of his anger and embarrassment. Jesse had run across a lot of spiders in his lifetime. Bullies came in all shapes and sizes, but inside, they were all about the same. Weak, brittle, frightened, self-loathing, predatory. Sometimes one kick in the crotch was all it took to warn them off. Jesse hoped that would be the case with Spider. He couldn't be sure because sometimes that first kick just made them want to strike out, not strike back. They usually didn't have the sand to come back at Jesse directly. No, they had to find a weaker, more vulnerable target. In this case, he thought, that would be Sharon, or maybe her kids. Jesse also had his own selfish reasons for wanting to see Sharon. Spider's interruption and the call about Ben Salter had prevented Jesse from getting the full story about what Harlan Salter IV and his lawyer were doing in a place like Helton. Before heading to Helton, Jesse had gone over to Kennedy Memorial Park to meet up with Healy and to see what the forensics unit had to say about where Ben Salter was discovered. Not that Jesse was a clothes horse, but he swore Healy had only two suits, and they were already old when they'd first met. That was more than a decade ago. He didn't say anything about it to Healy, though Jesse couldn't help smiling about it. Healy noticed. "What are you smiling about?" Jesse didn't answer the question. "Anything worthwhile here?" "Nothing to write home about. We're pretty sure the kid was driven up here via the maintenance access road and dumped. The gate's open and the lock's been cut."
"Tread prints?"
"Access road is gravel, so we're shit out of luck there." Healy pointed to a patch of ground between two pine trees about 15 feet to his left. "That's where your man found the kid. There's a fair amount of blood, but it's probably all the kid's from the broken beak. You ever break your nose?" Jesse tapped his nose. "This perfect specimen? Never. It is a beaut. I broke mine once, and that's not just an expression. I mean, I broke it."
"How'd you manage that?"
"High school ball. We were down a run late in the game, and the eighth-place batter got a seeing-eye single through the hole on the left side. Coach was going to pinch hit for me, but because there were no outs, he decided to let me sacrifice and not waste a position player. First pitch is a high fastball, tough to get on top of with the bat. I tried to bunt it anyway. Ball caromed off the bat and hit me square in the honker. The sound of my nose breaking made the catcher puke his guts up. Either that or all the blood that came gushing out of me."
"Maybe both," Jesse said.
"I was in no position to judge. Hurt like a bastard. But it added a lot of character to my face, don't you think?"
"Character, is that what they call it?"
"Fuck you, Jesse. If you find out anything here, let me know."
Jesse fought the urge to stop for a drink during the entire ride to Helton. With the turmoil over the murder and Gabe's accident, he had pretty much put the reunion and the baggage that came with it out of his mind. Even Kayla and Dee hadn't brought it back to him, though he guessed their showing up in town and then on his doorstep unexpectedly probably should have. But Healy telling him that story of breaking his nose in high school had brought it all back in a rush. Suddenly, no matter how loud he turned up the radio, he couldn't block Julio Blanco's voice out of his head. Over and over again, he heard Blanco describing how Vic Prado had caused the injury that ruined Jesse's baseball career forever. Jesse pictured Dix smiling at this turn of events. It was Dix who had helped him come to see that his drinking was part of a series of unsuccessful mechanisms Jesse had set up to help him control the world around him. Of course, any such system was doomed to fail. Jesse saw that now, but knowing it and changing lifelong patterns were two very different animals. He got the sense that Dix took a kind of perverse pleasure in it when the universe would throw Jesse unexpected curveballs. Dix would claim otherwise. He would say that these unexpected turns of events were great opportunities for insight. Maybe Dix was right, because never in a million years could Jesse have predicted that Healy's story would set him off the way it had. Now it was Dix's voice, not Julio Blanco's, he heard in his head. Unresolved feelings don't resolve themselves. Just because you shove unwanted things into the attic doesn't mean they aren't still there. Man, he especially hated those rare occasions when Dix would get folksy or metaphorical. He never supposed he would be pleased to see Bert's All-Star Grill again, but he was. Jesse realized that if he was half as good at life as he was at police work, he'd be in great shape. Jesse got out of the car, leaving Blanco and Dix behind. Bert's was empty, but for some flies, and they weren't ordering off the menu. Jesse didn't have time to wait for someone to appear, so he walked up to the pass-through window, where the cook put up the finished orders. On the other side of the window sat a young brown-skinned man in his 20s, dressed in grease-smeared kitchen whites. He wore a silly paper cap on his head. He was reading a Spanish-language newspaper. "Hector, right?" Jesse said. Hector startled a bit, then collected himself. He stood and came to the window. His expression was practiced and blank. Jesse knew the look of invisibility. Illegals learned to wear that expression from the second they crossed the border. It was pretty common in L.A., and now it was pretty common in these parts, too. Concerns over immigration policy were way above Jesse's pay grade, and the way he figured it, people who came here and worked hard to improve their lives should be welcomed, not punished. As Hector approached the window, his face broke into a broad smile. "You the cop protect Sharon from spider. Ese chingazo de pendejo," said the cook, who feigned spitting on the floor. "You're right, Spider is a fucking idiot." Hector was impressed. "You speak Spanish?" "Some. Curses mostly. I worked LAPD for 10 years. Hector smiled. It was a nice, kindly smile. "Let me make you something," he said to Jesse. "Huevos rancheros?" "That's okay, I'm not hungry. Is Sharon around?" He waved his hand. "She go." "Did Spider come back?"
"No, but she is thinking he will, so she get her kids and go someplace safer."
There was a look in Hector's eyes Jesse couldn't quite read. "Safer? Safer where?"
"It's okay," Hector said.
Now Jesse understood. "She's with you?" Hector didn't answer. "She has my card," Jesse said. "Tell her to give me a call when she gets a chance." He winked.
"If I see her."
When Jesse got back into his car, it seemed Julio Blanco and Dix had taken their voices and gone elsewhere.